You know, when I think about the Christmas story and I think about Joseph and Mary and the years that they raised Jesus, and when he was 12, we've got recorded, they went to Jerusalem and went to the temple. And I just think of a lot of the questions that aren't answered in Scripture. And this brings to mind another question. Why didn't Joseph tell to others, this boy is here to save us from our sin? Do you think about things like that? Am I the only one that's weird? And maybe he did mention it to others. And maybe he thought, Joseph, you've lost your mind, if he brought up to anybody, this child is going to save us from our sin. And I wonder sometimes, why didn't he pass that on to others? Why didn't Mary tell him when he's going to the cross? And the Jewish people rationalize, the Messiah is going to come from Bethlehem. Why didn't she tell him that? Why didn't she tell him he was born in Bethlehem? And so I think of things like this, and I wonder, why didn't Joseph tell him what the angel said? So let me press on here and let us ponder a question for a moment, then I'm going to bring it all together. When we celebrate the birth of Jesus, us, I know that America has just become a holiday to do your thing, but to believers in Jesus, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus the Christ, are we looking for someone that's just going to grant our wishes? Are we looking to the one who can save us from our sin? As we just sang about, and as the angel told Joseph, because that's why he came, to save us from our sin. I realize, and you realize too, that Joseph wasn't alive when Jesus reached ministry age and eventually went to the cross to shed his blood for our sin. Joseph, there's no recordings of Joseph anywhere at that time, so we all assume he's gone, he's passed on before this. But it seems reasonable to me, if Joseph would have just mentioned to some people, this is the one going to save us from our sin. It seems reasonable that maybe as a nation, they would have seen him differently and subscribed to him by faith differently. I wonder about those things. Let me go on and finish this set of verses. Then Matthew writes, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. By this time, I don't know what Joseph is thinking. But as he began to ponder what the angel has told him, and he can see with his own eyes that his wife is expecting, and I'm sure that he had conversation with her about that, and she probably told him, as we read in Luke chapter 1, of her angelic visitation too. I'm not sure how he's processing all this, but can you imagine for a moment? Can you imagine for a moment what's going through his mind? Not only is this young woman that's engaged to him already pregnant, the angel said, that which is conceived in her womb is for the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, prophesied 650 years earlier from Isaiah, there's going to be a virgin that bears a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. Do you see what all this means? Emmanuel means God is coming. Amen? That's what it means. Emmanuel, Isaiah prophesied 650 years earlier. I think it's Isaiah 7:2. A virgin will conceive and bring forth a son, and he will be Emmanuel. That means God is coming. And so as Joseph is trying to process this, God is coming through my wife in human form to save people from their sin. That's what he's trying to process and wrestle with. And the Bible says, Matthew records it, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her. That means intimately, physically, sexually, did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Hallelujah. And so when I tell us it's good for us to drill down and look at even genealogies, there's something in there to learn. There's something in there to be reminded of. And these simple stories that we can, Jim, we've read it 100 times, there's things in there we can rejoice over, we can celebrate over, we can be reminded of, and there's these little nuggets of truth that leap off the pages to us that remind us God is coming to save us from our sin. That's good news. Amen? What can we conclude from this simple little passage about Christmas today? Jesus came to save us from sin. And he will save us from sin. When we repent of sin and we trust in him by faith and we commit our lives to him. I want us to be very, very careful, and I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but I want us to be very, very careful to remember what the angel told him. And in knowing what the angel told him, this is God. This baby that your betrothed wife is going to bear will save us from our sin. And I want us to be very careful to recognize and to understand Jesus is not a genie in a bottle. Oh, he might rescue us from some stuff, to be sure. But he's not a genie in a bottle just to come to grant us our next wish. He is incarnate God who came to live and to teach and to die for our sin. I want us to be keenly aware of that this Christmas season. And I want to also ask us, have you committed completely to Christ, the one who can save us from our sin? Now I'm going to move from that right into communion preparation, and I'm going to share with us from Hebrews. It goes right along with what we just read. From Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, remember what the angel said. This baby is going to save us from our sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 says, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sin. They did that for a long time. You still with me, friends? Old Testament, they sacrifice goats and bulls. There needed to be shedding of blood to atone for sin. Hebrews reminds us, the writer of Hebrews reminds us, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sin. That's impossible. Therefore, Hebrews 10:5, therefore, as he was coming into the world, he said, Jesus, you did not want, he's speaking to God the Father, you did not want sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me, Jesus said. You did not delight, he's talking to God the Father, in whole burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then I said, the Son, to the Father, see, it is written about me in the volume of the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God, to lay down his life for our sin. And then the writer of Hebrews says, after he says above, you did not want or delight in sacrifice and offerings, whole burnt offerings and sin offerings, which are offerings according to the law, he then says, see, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first to establish the second. That's Jesus. By this will of God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. What bulls and goats could not do, the angel said to Joseph, this man will do. I say hallelujah. And so as we prepare for communion, we're just gonna bow our heads and close our eyes and take a moment of reflection, because Paul in 1 Corinthians reminds us to examine ourselves, and then we will pass to you the elements of the bread and the juice, and we'll remember what the angel said, and we'll remember what the writer of Hebrews said. It's all about Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you again for this story. The story begins, the Christmas story begins in Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1, and reminds us of all the heavenly visitations. It reminds us of the Immaculate Conception, this divine intervention. It reminds us of all of that, and yet all of this points us to the cross, and to the blood, and to the sacrifice of your Son for our sin. And so as we celebrate this morning, Father, Christmas is coming. We're in the season of Advent. Christmas is coming, and we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But we're also reminded of why he came. The angel told Matthew, to save his people from their sin, to save us from sin. And we're reminded of the writer of Hebrews' words that told the people of that time and tells us all the shedding of blood from bulls and goats and those sacrifices before, it was impossible to deal with sin once and for all. But you provided to us Jesus, O God. And so as we celebrate the joys of Christmas, we're reminded of the cross, because that's why he came. And so as we take these elements together this morning, Father, we're reminded of the words of Jesus that said, do this often, and do it in remembrance of me. So we take the element of the bread, signifying his broken body, and the elements of the cup, the grape juice, signifying the shed blood, and we do it to remember, O God, the whole story, the story of Jesus, the story of your great love, and to say once again, thank you for it all. Thank you for it all. Guide us as we continue to worship you around the communion table, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible reminds us that that night Jesus took bread and he broke it, And he gave it to his disciples, and he said to his disciples, "This is my body, broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." The Bible also says that after supper he took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me." It's a good story, isn't it? When we read in the Old Testament about the prophecies about the coming Messiah, and we read Luke and Matthew and all these things about Jesus, and then we realize, too, the cross is always in mind. It's a good story. It's a story for us. And I pray that this Christmas season, you can just bask in this story of Jesus come to save us from our sin. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. This is our story. And because this is our personal stories, we will praise you all the day long. We will praise you again, Heavenly Father, this Christmas season. Yes, Lord, I know and you know better. There are those that are suffering. There are those that hurt. There are those with struggles. But with Jesus, it changes everything. And so, Father, this is our story, and we thank you for it. We thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for coming as that baby that we celebrate this season, but coming with the cross in mind. Bless each one this day that's watching online and that's with us here this morning. Bless their week. Walk with each and every one, drawing each of us closer and closer to you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.